let's talk about we've never been this way before. A little girl was running. She was all dressed up in her Sunday best, and she was running as fast as she could run, trying not to be late to her Bible class on Sunday morning. And she prayed, dear Lord, please don't let me be late. Dear Lord, please don't let me be late. And she was running. And all of a sudden, she tripped and fell. And when she fell, she got her little dress all dirty, and she had torn it. Well, the little gal got back up and brushed herself all off and started running again and started praying again. I said, dear Lord, please don't let me be late. And please don't shove me again. Sometimes I feel or I wish the Lord would shove me in the right direction. Have you ever felt like that? That you'd like to have the Lord shove you in the right direction for your life? You know, the children of Israel came to the border of the promised land with Moses, and God did not shove them. In fact, He gave them a choice, much like He gives you. He told them that they were to choose what they were going to do. And you know what they did? They chose not to go in to the promised land. And they missed their opportunity. There's an old saying, you only pass this way but once. Someone said, well, that is unless your wife is reading the roadmap. And then some of the women didn't like that. And so they said, but preacher, do you know why the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? I said, no, why? Well, because Moses, like most men, was so stubborn to stop and ask for directions. I don't think that was right either. But for 40 long, boring years, the children of Israel did this. They wandered and they circled the desert dunes and they ate manna, 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 manna. They even had banana pie. Can you imagine some of those older folks said, if we only would have done what we are supposed to have done, if only. You know, wasted opportunities are not a pretty thing. A wise person once wrote, the saddest words of tongue or pen are these four words, what might have been. We stand 37 years after my beginning of pastoring this church, facing a new and bigger opportunity and a new challenge. Are we going to move forward and claim our opportunity? Are we going to do what the children of Israel did and not choose to go forward? We have this wonderful opportunity that the FCC has allotted to us, and that is a brand new radio station that we will own, that we will operate, and that we will spread the gospel down in Coshocton, Ohio. Do we have what it takes to actually get it together and do it? Well, already we've purchased the land and paid cash for the land. Already we've bought the tower and paid cash for the tower. But we're just starting. We need another $130,000 to $160,000 to get this goal accomplished and get this radio station built. And then we will have ongoing responsibilities that I'm trusting those churches down in Coshocton will actually pick up and pay for. You must pray with me about this. But ladies and gentlemen, we will have the privilege, like any other missionary endeavor, every time a missionary comes back and says, they've won these many souls, they built these many churches, we all rejoice because we are helping them in their missions work. But ladies and gentlemen, just think about this. We are the church that's being counted on by God and now by the FCC to have a station down in Coshocton that's going to preach the gospel 24 hours a day. I mean the gospel from the very Word of God and sing those conservative songs from God's people, and we're going to present the gospel every single day. What a privilege we have and what an opportunity. But what are we going to do about it? We've never been this way before. Never have we been this direction. In Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we've just read those verses. I'm not going to read it again, but I do want you to look, if you will, kindly at verse number 5. I want you to open your Bible. It will no doubt be on the screen. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. But I want you to read it with me, because here is the theme verse for what I'm saying today. Let's read it together. Everybody together. Ready? And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let's read it one more time, loud and clear. It's on the screen. Take a look and let's read it together, please. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you think that God can do a great wonder for us down in Coshocton, Ohio, where hundreds and thousands of folks will listen? 200,000 folks will be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ because we paid the price. Because we had the opportunity and we went in. You know, sometimes I think we need to be ready to move. They were ready to move, and the only thing standing between them was a river. And that river was both a border and a barrier of blessing. I've always been fascinated with rivers, and I love the Mississippi River. I've fished in that river. I've boated on that river. I've crossed that river hundreds of times. But my favorite river probably is the Jordan, because I got baptized in that river. They say, well, what's special about that? Nothing. I was already baptized. But you know, it's just like that's where Jesus Christ was baptized. And I always had in my mind when we went to the Holy Land, I want to get baptized in that river. I asked my wife if she wanted to. She said, no, I'm already baptized. Well, I said, I'm already baptized too, but I kind of want to get baptized again in the Jordan. She said, I don't want to. Go ahead. Everybody has their own desires. And it was muddy and it was dirty. And I went and I got baptized. My pastor baptized me in Jordan. I thought that was so neat. Such a wonderful blessing. Today we stand on the border of claiming God's promise. And here's our challenge. Here's the Coshocton Radio Station ministry. In order for us to move forward into a new ministry, a new opportunity, and a new challenge, we must first cross a river, listen, of impossibilities. How do we do that? There's an old gospel song written. Maybe some of you know it. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and He will do what no other power can do. You know, I'm singing, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and He will do what no other power can do. Oh, isn't that a wonderful truth? Do you this morning, sitting here, have a river I can't seem to cross in my life, preacher? There's a problem. There's a mountain I can't seem to cross. I can't tunnel through. My God specializes in things thought impossible, and He can do what no other power can do. Number one, if you're taking notes, I've got three Roman numerals. Number one is this. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who is the ark. Joshua faced a tough challenge. God made it simple. He told them to simply move when the ark moved. That's as simple as He could do it. Joshua 3 mentions the ark of the covenant, I think, 10 times. That's the key to fording the river of impossibility. What does it mean to us? The ark represents God's presence and God's power. The ark was a rectangular box with a gold-plated lid called the mercy seat. Two statues of cherubim stood on each side of the mercy seat of the ark, with the arms outstretched over that mercy seat. The Ten Commandments, the Word of God, were inside that box. Also inside that box was a bowl of manna representing the provision of God. You see, he fed them for 40 years with that manna that I mentioned earlier. In addition, in that box was Aaron's rod that budded and blossomed during the leadership crisis in which the people didn't want to follow Moses. It represented the protection of God. God's Shekinah glory settled often between the two cherubims. The ark was summarized in three words: God with us. Joshua told the Hebrews to just keep their eyes on the ark. He didn't say, "I'm the leader, follow me." No, he said, "Hark, the ark, follow the ark." The ark was the presence of God. Follow the ark. When the ark moved, we move. If the ark stays still, we stay still. Follow the ark. To us, Jesus is the fulfillment of the ark of God. He is Emmanuel. Isn't Jesus Christ known to us as Emmanuel, God with us? Yes, He is. He is the Word made flesh. He is God's provision, God's protection. The Spirit of Jesus is moving in our church in these days. Listen, last year alone, we had 54 brand new members join our church. God has been moving. And He's calling upon us. You know why? Because not every church is moving like this church is moving. And God has been calling upon us. Here's another branch of ministry. Here's another branch of getting the gospel out. Here's something else we can do. We've never been here before. We've never started a radio station outside of our own town. But now we have the privilege to do so. But we've never been this way before. He's leading us into a new challenge. Hark the ark. Follow Jesus. Number two, under Roman numeral one, following Jesus always leads us into uncharted territory. Following Jesus always leads us into uncharted territory. The title of this message is taken from the words found in verse number four, where the Jews were told, "You've never been this way before." As a church, we stand on the border of uncharted territory. People ask me all the time, "Preacher, what's it going to be like to have a radio station in Coshocton?" You know what I tell them? I have no earthly idea. I've never done this before. Come on, amen? I really don't know how it's going to be. What's it going to be like? I don't know. I honestly don't know. However, this is uncharted territory. I've never been here before, but my attitude is whatever God is doing, and He can do whatever He wants to do. God can do anything He wants to do. I'm going to keep my eye on the ark. I'm going to keep my eye on God and just simply follow Him. That's all I'm going to do. I don't know what we're doing for sure. That's what Joshua did, though. God said, "Enter into the fullness of my blessing," and I'm going to do with our church here the very same thing. I don't know how it's all going to come together. How do I get the $160,000 that I need to really get this thing built and established? How do I do all that? Preacher, what's the plan? What's the goal? How are we going to? I don't know for sure, but I know God wants us to do it. We've got to do it. So let's keep our eyes on Him. Number three, we must respect the holiness of God. Under Roman numeral one, number three, we must respect the holiness of God. Notice God told the people to maintain a distance of about 1,000 yards from the ark. That was because of the holiness of God. Folks, you cannot contain God in a box. I will say that again because more folks need to say amen right there. You cannot contain God in a box. There is no way. He can't be contained in a box. He's creator of the universe, and God transcends our existence. It's a dangerous thing to transgress the holiness of God. If one of the Jews had touched the ark, anybody know what would happen to him? He'd die. You touch the ark, you die. I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing to transgress the holiness of God. The distance was also to prevent the people from crowding around it. By keeping everyone 1,000 yards away, everyone else would be able to see everything clearly. If we don't respect the holiness of God, we actually block other people from seeing God for who He really is. I know some people say, "Boy, when I get to heaven," I know people say this kind of stuff, "Boy, when I get to heaven, I am going to go run up to Jesus and give Him the high five." Other people say, "Man, I'm going to hug His neck and slap Him on the back. Man, dear Jesus, thanks for doing what You did for me." You know, I think you're all wrong about that. Because of the great holiness of God. Brother John, I think we're going to fall on our face. prostrate before God because of the holiness of God. You're not going to experience this jovial slap back, slap high five stuff. You're going to say, oh God, why did you do this for me? I don't deserve any of this stuff. And I believe you'll fall prostrate on your face before God, saying, God, I love you. Thank you for doing for me what you've done. That's what I think you will do. Mitchell, by the way, you guys sing that song in the night. That's a powerful song. And I don't care if he does cry. I kind of like it myself. It tells what his heart's all about. Something going on in the heart of man who can weep because of the things of God. Here's a warning. We must be seeking notice what I've said, beautiful, powerful Savior, not a beautiful or powerful radio station. We come to my church here, we've got to continue seeking a beautiful, powerful God, not a beautiful, powerful building. I honestly appreciate everything God's given us. Come on, amen. And I appreciate God's people taking care of what we have. But folks, let's not get so cocky and proud and haughty about what we have and forget about the God who gave it. I appreciate that radio station. If you've never seen the remodeling that Brother Sharp, Brother Benedict, all the guys have done, you need to go out there and see that. It's a beautiful edifice for the glory of God. But it's not about the building. It's about getting this gospel out to hundreds and thousands of souls. It's about folks calling me and saying, preacher, I had a fellow call me from Michigan. He probably is listening today. He said, preacher, I wanted to be there for your radio Sunday. I wanted to be there so I could testify and say to somebody, because of your station, I trusted the Lord Jesus, got close to God. God has blessed me so much this year. I have given more to God than I've ever given in my life. But I've made more money than I've ever made in my life because I've been obedient to God. And all started because of your radio station. I want to ask real quickly this morning, how many of you have been influenced to come to this church, to be a part of this fellowship, because you first heard us on the radio? Can I see your hand just slip it up and hold it up there a minute? Just hold it up there a minute. Look at all the hands. Because of this radio station, folks have come to be a part of this particular church. Ladies and gentlemen, it'll work in Coshocton just like it works here. Wow. Go to Psalm 29, please. I want you to see what Psalm 29, verse number 2 says. Because we're talking about the great holiness of God. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Are you listening? Don't you dare come to church and not sing. Give the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord. There's actually a command. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Don't come here with your filthy talk and gestures. Come to God's house in the beauty of holiness. Churches can get so obsessed with buildings and like stations like we're talking. But if we focus on that kind of stuff rather than Jesus, we have turned our back. And we will wander in a spiritual desert for many, many years. It's not the edifices. It's not the buildings. It's not the stations. It's not the microphones. It's the Lord Jesus. Roman numeral 2, keep your life clean. Keep your life clean. Now you have maybe come in something in your life and you've never been this way before. You know, I look across my congregation. You know, we've had some deaths this year. Carol Hodgson's walking through the muddy waters now. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Leon's with the Lord, passed away. A shock to Carol and the whole family. Anne's here, and Daniel just passed away not long ago. Same family. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hey, man. Someday you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God will be with you. Do you know Him? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Number two, keep your life clean. Consecrate. Chapter 3, verse 5 is that key verse. If you were leading a military expedition in Joshua's day, you would probably tell your troops, come on guys, make your sword sharpened. Get your shield. Get your helmet. Keep it in good order. That's not what he said, though. He said, get yourself ready spiritually. As we face a potential of $130,000, $160,000, $170,000 to build a station, maybe you're thinking this morning, you're saying to me, preacher, what are you asking? Get your checkbooks out? Get your portfolios out? No, I'm not asking that at all. You know what I'm asking early on right here is get yourself ready spiritually. This church needs to get ourselves ready spiritually. Consecrate. Basically, it means to set your life apart for God's use. When you consecrate yourself, you are saying, God, my life is reserved exclusively for you. And here are three things you can do to consecrate your life. Number one, get rid of your junk. Everybody in this church, I'm asking you, get rid of your sin. Get rid of your junk. The word consecrate or sanctify was used to describe what the high priest did to cleanse himself on the Day of Atonement. According to Leviticus chapter 16, that'd be a good chapter sometime for you all to read. Leviticus chapter 16, the priest removed his old garments and that were stained with dirt and grime of the world. And then he took the water and carefully washed his entire body. And finally, he put on clean, new linen garments. And then a linen turban. Only then was he ready to offer the sacrifice to the Lord. It's a powerful picture of how we must sanctify ourselves to serve the Lord. Look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 10. There's three verses here. Paul uses the language, this kind of language, when he writes here in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these. Listen, listen everybody. I'm going through some waters, preacher, I've never been to before. Something's going on in my life. Listen, listen everybody. What should I do? Number one, keep your eyes on Jesus. Number two, keep your life clean. Consecrate. Now you also put off all these. Put off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Listen, get that filthy communication out of your mouth. Look at verse number 9. What am I going to do here, preacher? Lie not one to another. See that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You're going to put off the old man. Next, verse number 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created Him. Consecrate myself to God. Let me tell you something that offends God. I'll tell you what offends God this morning. It's for you and I to allow some dirty form of stinking, rotten sin to reside in our hearts and do nothing about it. That really, I think, offends God. That we know we have a problem, whether it's our language, whether it's pornography, whether it's dirt, whether it's gut rot jokes, whether it's filthy language, filthy communication, whatever that dirty, stinking sin is, we allow it to reside in our hearts and we let it set there. How about you this morning? What about that anger you're feeling towards another brother or sister or your family? What about that rage? What about that hard feeling? What about those gossipy words or that profanity in your heart? Get rid of it, God says. Hey, come on, clean yourself up. Let me be able to use you someday for my glory. Get rid of all that stuff and let me be the highlight of your life, not the world and all of its filth and rotten, gut-wrenching things. Get right with God. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I must ask you, is there any anger? Is there any rage? Is there hard feelings? Is there gossip? Is there profanity? Confess it. Turn from it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All that stuff I just mentioned is a bunch of unrighteousness. That's what that is. Number two. This is number two under number one. Number two. Keep your life clean. That's number two, Roman numeral two. One is get rid of the junk. Number two, get into God's Word. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away your sins. I heard John talk about that this morning on the radio. John, I appreciate that thought this morning on the radio. He got it. His words in there, and he said, listen, the only thing that can wash away your sin is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's exactly right. Only the blood can wash away your sin, but it's the Word of God that keeps you clean. Do you know that? The blood washes you clean from your sin, but the Word keeps you from getting dirty again. Now look at the Word of God in John chapter 15 and verse number 3. What's it say? Now you're clean. Now you're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. You know what keeps you clean? The blood washes you. But what keeps you clean is the Word of God. Where do you suppose the devil fights most people? Keep them out of the Word of God. He'll let you read just about anything else except the Bible. In our geometry class, because my kids are really good about doing this, they got me talking about demons the other day. Because they were asking the question about demons because they did not want to do geometry. I'm convinced of it. Pastor, what do you know about demons? And we'll talk about that some other occasion. This is geometry class. No, we have just a couple questions. And Brother Kenny, the little fellow from Africa, our little black student, great young man, he said, in Africa, I have seen how demons work. So our country's full of demons. And he's exactly right. And any time I've ever dealt with a devil or a demon, they hate this Bible. I'll guarantee you they hate the Word of God. I've been praying for people and actually had them say, in the demon voice, curling. Get the Bible away! Hey, don't you think demons are not real? They are very real. But God is more powerful. God is more powerful. I told those young people in that class, I said, listen, everybody here, you don't play with the devil. You don't play with this. I wouldn't watch anything at any time has to do with anything with devil or evil spirits. Ever. I personally want nothing to do with that stuff. And I fight that stuff all the strength I have. I won't watch blood-curdling shows. I won't watch anything about Halloween. I won't watch anything about that stuff. I don't want anybody showing me anything about daggers. I don't see nothing like that. And I don't think, honestly, anybody in this whole building should. You say you're a Christian, you ought not be interested in any of that stuff. I've had people over the years say, oh, preacher, I'd love to watch horror movies. I said, are you saved? Yeah, but I no, you need to check whether you're really saved. I'm serious. Horror movies are from the pit. There's a real devil. If you ever seen him in operation, you'd know exactly what I'm saying, and you'd be a little more afraid than playing around with it all the time. Get into God's Word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Said something very important to us. Don't let this book of the law depart from out of your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt... that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, there's great value, by the way, in reading the Bible out loud. And now, if some of you have a little difficulty, I just want to teach a little something here. If you have a little difficulty reading the Bible every day because you say you're so pressed with time, get you those little CDs and put them in your CD player and let the Word of God play. As you're getting ready, as you're driving to work, whatever, let it play. Let the Word of God play. Say, preacher, why is that so important? Well, if you just go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, there's great value in reading the Bible, yes, but there's greater value in reading the Bible out loud. Where it talks about that faith cometh by hearing. and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't just say faith cometh by reading silently. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I would recommend everybody. My wife and I practiced this for literally years, raising our children. They heard the Word of God every morning on cassette tape in those days. I don't mean dramatization about the Word, which is not bad. That's not, but I'm talking about the Word of God being heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to build your faith? Get a CD player and play that Bible. Start in Matthew, do the whole New Testament. Start in the Psalms, play the whole Psalms. Play everything you can find in the book of Proverbs. God will bless your life. You become a stronger Christian. Your faith will soar. You'll believe God can do anything. But you stay out of the book, and the devil wants you to stay out of this book. Get into God's Word. And number three, get on your knees, prayer and fasting. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse number 7, a powerful setting. If you remain in me, if you abide in me, in other words, if you're going to remain in Christ, if you abide in Christ, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's Scripture. Do you see the connection between the Word of God and prayer? Once again, I challenge all of us to take several days that leads up to next spring and participate and experience prayer and fasting for our church and our new radio station in Coshocta. We need the whole church to be in this whole thing. I'm asking for money right now. I'm asking for you to pray, to fast, to seek God. And here's what I want you to pray for. Three things. Pray for our congregation right here. Pray for our congregation. Get on your knees in prayer, fasting. But pray for our congregation. That God will send us a spirit of revival in this place. That God will break our hearts and turn our hearts towards Him. Number two, pray for several members who say they're members but don't come to church and never give a dime to anything. Pray for those people. There's folks in our church who are members of our church that never come and they never give a dime to anything. You know, I wonder if everybody would live like some people, how the kingdom of God would ever, ever progress. How God could ever get His people to do anything. Folks, listen, if you're here this morning, you don't give anything. Shame on you. You ought to be giving to the cause of Christ, to the great work of ministry. It is a wonderful thing to be able to give to God. Number three, pray for our adversary, the devil, that he will be rendered totally harmless in his attacks on our church during this critical time. You know, our church is trying to do something that not too many people do. Another radio station. Not too many people have that. And do you know the Bible says this about the devil? He is the prince and the power of the air. And guess where we're trying to infiltrate? His air with a gospel message. But I'm telling you, the devil doesn't like it. He's going to fight us. But we're going to be victors. Number three. Roman numeral three, and I'm finished. Keep moving forward into the river. I love this. Now we go to verse 14. To me, the most exciting part of this story is found in verse 14 through 17. This is, again, chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. Follow me, please. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests hearing of bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come in unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. Wow. What's that mean? Well, number one, the Jordan is the borderline in the blessing. Number one, the Jordan is the borderline in the blessing. Some people have mistakenly taught that Canaan represents heaven. Not so. Crossing the Jordan is a picture of physical death, they say. That's not so. Alan Redpath, and I wrote it down, a great writer, described it best this way. He said, "The crossing of the Jordan does not illustrate the passing of a soul into eternity, but rather it does illustrate the passing of a Christian from one level of Christian living to another. It marks the end of the self-life and the beginning of the Christ life. Between these two levels of the Christian life rolls the mighty Jordan River, a river of impossibility." And that's exactly the truth. Our church is standing on the border. We will move forward or go back. Some of you are on the border in this church of salvation. Some folks have come to our church now for a number of weeks, and they're not even saved. You've been on the border of salvation for literally weeks. What are you going to do about it? You got to start getting in the water. Go over. Some of you are saying, should I dedicate, should I consecrate myself to God? I used to be one day. Should I be again? Yes! Get started now. Step into the water. Come on, do it. Some others in this room need to move forward by attending church. Maybe you haven't joined yet. Well, I've been attending here for some time now, and should I join or not? Yeah, get a part of the fellowship like the other 54 from last year. Let's get in here and work together as a team and build something for the cause of Christ. It's time. You're on the border of blessings. Will you go forward? Have you been standing on the border of baptism? This young lady down here, her daughter asked me, "Don't forget, Pastor, I want to get baptized. Don't forget," I said, "oh, I got you. Next baptism, we're going to baptize you." But how many adults and how many other folks who need to be baptized, never been baptized, need to say, "Preacher, I need to get biblically baptized." Maybe you've been on the border of baptism for a long time. Get it done. Get it done. It's time to step forward. You are standing on the Jordan. It may seem like a tough barrier, but it's really a border to blessing. Number two. Number one was simply, the Jordan is a borderline in the blessing. It's under Roman numeral 3. The Jordan is a borderline in the blessing. Number two, you'll never know God's power until you step into the water. Here's a tremendous lesson, I think, on faith. Lest you think the priests were simply tiptoeing through a shallow little gentle stream, maybe I should tell you about the Jordan. The name Jordan means to descend. The water descends from the melted snow, underground springs from near Mount Hermon, and that is 9,200 feet above sea level. It flows 30 miles into the Sea of Galilee, and then the Jordan delivers the water 65 miles further down to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the lowest spot on earth, 1,300 feet below sea level. Now think about this. So the water falls over 10,000 feet in about 95 miles. That's how it got its name, Jordan, descend. Can you imagine the power of that water as it descends? The Jordan has cut a deep crevice. I was there, got baptized there. The banks of the river are steep and dangerous, but today the Jordan has been reduced to a little trickle in some areas because the Israelis have dammed it up and used it for irrigation. But 3,400 years ago, when the snow began to melt and the springs began to come, the water rushed down through there. So when you hear the story that the priests put their feet in the water, it wasn't some little pond or some little calm, twinkly little bit of water. It was a rushing torrent. It was during the harvest season. And it flooded its banks. Now they were standing on the edge. What am I going to do? Now God said to step into the water, but if I step very far, the current's going to be so swift, it'll kill me. It'll take me downstream. What should I do? It's a border, but it's a barrier to a blessing. Priest got down there. I want you to visualize this, carrying the Ark of the Covenant. descending down towards the water, the barrier. It's flood season. The raging torrent is in front of them. Too deep to cross. Can't swim across it. What should I do? The priest said, what should I do? They stepped in. God said to walk. They began to walk. Should I just stand here and wait for the water to stop? No, walk! Go ahead! Step into the water! Let's obey God. And they stepped into the water. Remember that song? Step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. That's what they were to do. And guess what? God, miraculously, how did they do it? I don't know. But they stepped in the water, and all of a sudden, God held back the water. And it was up in a heap. And they walked through. How'd that happen? I don't know. That's our God. What is it in your life that you're facing and you say, I have a tunnel. I can't get through. I can't tunnel through the mountain. I can't cross the river. Preacher, I've got a mess on my head. Hey, get to God and let God take care of it. Even this radio station, what are we going to do? I don't know, but get to God. Where's your marriage? Where's your children? How's everything going? Preacher, I've never been where I'm at today. Then you let God do what God does best. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. And He will do what no other power can do. Let God do it. How many times do we come to a new experience with God and He patiently waits for us to step out by faith? And He waits and He waits and He waits and He waits for us to get our feet wet. And we have no way of knowing how God will provide or deliver us. And yet when we step out and we step in, God does it. I don't know, Brother Corby, exactly how God does all that. But I know He does it. What's God asking you to do? Now, He's asking me as the leader of this church to build another radio station. Can we do it? Yes, we can. What's God asking of you? We stand at the same place. It's not going to be easy. We can't just waltz across the river. We are facing the possibility of having difficult challenges, of thousands of dollars being spent. And yet we know that on the other side, thousands of people are going to hear the gospel and many will be saved. What about you? Is God pleased with your children living in filthy, rotten sin? No. Is God pleased with your marital situation? Maybe not. What are we going to do? By faith, we step in and let God do the job. He's a God of miracles. Number three, and this will be my last point. Jesus will be your pathway through the water. Look at that thought on the screen. Jesus will be your pathway through the water. The priest carrying the ark stood in the middle of the riverbed upstream, and thousands of Hebrew walked across the riverbed, keeping their distance from the ark. The only reason it was safe was because the ark, Jesus, was already there. What a lesson. You know, I've learned over the years, rather than building a bridge over troubled waters, I've learned this lesson, that God's pathway is almost always through the troubled waters. He doesn't build us a bridge over. Years ago, a popular worldly song was, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Some of you might remember that song. Everybody wants to have a bridge over troubled waters. God takes you through the troubled waters safely. Listen to me. Jesus doesn't elevate us above problems and difficulties. He is the pathway through. That's true for our church. We're facing a daunting challenge. If we keep our eyes on the ark, Jesus, He will carry us through. My friend, it's also true about your life. Are you facing the dangerous current of some pressing problem in your life individually? Do you feel as if you can go no further? I've had people tell me all week long, I don't know if I can go any further. I don't know if I can take any more. Preacher, you don't understand. I may not, but there's a God who does. I need to direct your attention to that God. Musicians are coming. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You're right on the border of blessing. There's a huge barrier in front of you. If Jesus tells you to move forward, go ahead, move forward, walk into the water. Why? Why, preacher? Because He'll be there. He's not going to tell you to go there if He's not going to be there. If He tells you to go there, He's already there. Are you on the border of blessing? Do you see the river? Are you willing to step forward and trust God to carry you through? It's all about faith. What's the Bible say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is coming to the edge of the cliff. It's reaching the very end of all you know and see and hear about God. And you say, okay, I'm going to take one more step. Faith is taking the next step and knowing either God will be there to catch you or He'll teach you how to fly. Okay, God. Right? Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. And He will do what no other power can do. What are you facing this morning? I'm your friend trying to get you to Jesus. Let's stand together, please.